Welcome to Business Infrastructure, the podcast about curing back office blues of fast-growing businesses. If you're a business owner or operator looking for practical tips and solutions to scaling your business in a sustainable manner, you're in the right place. Now here's your hostess, Alicia Butler-Pierre.
Hello and welcome to the Business Infrastructure Curing Back Office Blues show. I'm your hostess, Alicia Butler-Pierre, and I'm joined today by one of my newest friends, Mr. Forrest Tuff. Forrest is an author, empowerment speaker, filmmaker, and CEO of One Vision Productions, an award-winning multimedia production company. His company specializes in video production, aerial drone services, photography, innovative solutions, and graphic design. In fact, One Vision Productions is a recipient of the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for customer service and has been named one of Atlanta, Georgia's best and brightest companies to work for from 2015 to 2018. Today, Forrest is going to share with us a specific example about how he was able to use aspects of business infrastructure to lower overhead and increase revenue in his company. Forrest, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Doing great. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for agreeing to take some time out of your very hectic schedule to speak with me today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
So let's go ahead and get started. First, tell us more about you and what you do at One Vision Productions.
Well, at One Vision Productions, I oversee pretty much everything. I kind of take a look at the marketing, the hiring, the firing, you know, what the corporate direction is for our company. And what we specialize in is video production. We work with corporations. We work with government entities. We also have evolved into the film industry. We've done work in the film industry, and we also have incorporated aerial drone services. So basically, our job, in a sense, is to make every customer look their best. That's what we do, in a nutshell. Mm. We give them that entity to make them, to show their best face.
I like that. So whether it's through the drone services, photography, video production, you make every customer look their best.
That's right.
I like that. Now, we were talking before we actually started the official interview, and we're talking about the fact that reducing overhead is something that every business, regardless of size, regardless of industry, regardless of geographic location, it is something that we are all challenged with as business owners, executives, managers. When did you realize that overhead was an issue that you needed to deal with?
When the check and balance doesn't work out, that's when you recognize, okay, we've got to make some changes. You know, when I started my business 15 years ago, you know, I had the concept that I wanted to be the brick and mortar because I felt that was an established look for a business. I wanted to have my staff on call where I could see them and we could make everything happen from this facility. But as the landscape began to change, I actually recognized that I was pigeonholing my mindset into what I viewed a successful business was. And the problem was the money was not adding up to the expenses. And to me, I had to redefine what success was. And that was when I realized I needed to change how I did business. So with that being said, we started to look at other alternatives. And the first thing I had to look at was, where is the money being spent? And overhead was, the facility was the biggest thing we were spending money on. So it took a lot to get to this point, but, you know, to call yourself the CEO, you have to make executive decisions.
Right.
And, you know, and to make those executives, you have to make decisions that may not look the part, but they're the best part for sustainability for your company. So with that being said, we started to look into virtual office space, you know, shared workspace. And those things provided some flexibility. That was one thing that provided flexibility in order to, you know, purchase more equipment for our company so that we were able to to meet jobs at a quicker demand. And also it immediately cut down a lot of finances that we were spending and not getting the benefit from, just initially to start.
I'm kind of chuckling to myself, Forrest, because years ago, in my attempt to also look really good, I leased out some very expensive office space.
Yes.
And I'm ashamed to say this, but hey, it is what it is. This was Midtown. So for those of you listening, Midtown Atlanta, it's a booming area, high-priced real estate. I was leasing an office in Midtown Atlanta, Georgia, and that monthly rent was more than my mortgage on my house.
That's right.
It was insane. So I can totally relate to what you just said. I don't want to say this too soon. I'll wait until we get to this particular question. But I too had to have my own, let's say, come to Jesus moment where I said, okay, this is not working. This is foolish.
That's right.
Yes. So now for those who may be listening to this show for the first time, we define business infrastructure as a system that helps you link certain people, processes, and tools and technologies to ensure that you grow in a profitable and sustainable way. So Forrest just said something really important, that you have to do things and make the hard decisions to make sure that your business is in fact sustainable. So Forrest, who were the specific people, processes, and tools or technologies that you use to solve this overhead issue? So I know you mentioned the virtual office space, but what were some of the other things that you leveraged in order to start reducing overhead?
Well, one of the things we had to take on is I started to hire a lot more 1099 contractors. That freed up the ability to have, even with the amount of money we were spending on staff, making sure that I was getting the optimal use for everyone that was doing a job. Because of the nature of my business is very almost contract oriented. There's not a lot of prep outside of, you know, the initial people that are brainstorming on the project. So it's almost project based, you know, initially. So with that, we brought in a lot more 1099 contractors, and it gave us a lot more flexibility even in our hours of work. Whereas before we were the traditional 9 to 5, I wanted to be that. Now we're the 12 to 12. We did what we had to do to be competitive. And that was one of the other things. We had to focus on how can we be competitive and find our place in this market, because there are a lot of people offering the service. So what are we going to do that separates us? Now, one of the things that I chose to focus on my company is not just cutting back. It wasn't always about cutting back, but it was also about spending money on things that would make us more accessible. You know, one of the things I will say, I remember when we first got on with the Woodruff Art Center, and they had a project that was a very, very good project, but they needed a 24-hour turnaround.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's, you know, it's one of those things where if you can do it, it's great. And we were in a position to do a major project. I'm talking about a major project. And this, when I say major, it was a strategic plan video for the Woodruff Art Center. 5-year strategic plan. And we were able to do a 24-hour turnaround because of the resources we had available and the training we had. And the company was really impressed with us. They did a whole big deal. And we've been a preferred vendor with them since 2011. So that's an example of how we were able to create an opportunity by changing the way we used our pay structure.
Now, I heard you mention the word training. So when you hire these 1099 contractors, I'm assuming you have certain procedures and guidelines that you've documented on how to do certain things and what the expectations are when performing certain work. Is that true?
Yes. We call it the One Vision Productions way. You know, there are a lot of contractors that work for different people, but I try to create a preferred contractors list. It's like we create a list of people that we know understand what we're trying to do in the marketplace and how we like to do business. and they get first right of refusal. So it puts you in the headspace that if you're actually willing to adhere to this training, that you know that as we have work, we'll keep you in the loop. So that's one way to kind of give a contractor your company policy to let them know, hey, listen, this is the amount of work we did last year, and we're going to continue to get this work, and we would like you to be a part of this team. You know, we know that you'll work with other people, but that's where we have the numbers, where we have more than, you know, 5 to 6 or 7 contractors that we work with to make sure that we have people available.
This is a little off topic, but I'm also curious, when you, one of the downsides, I guess you could say, or the, one of the cons to working with 1099 contractors is that sometimes you might need something done ASAP and those people may not be available.
Exactly.
Do you run into that issue a lot?
I have not.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, I have not. And like I say, we have a lot of people available.
So okay,
good. It's not just 2 or 3. That was a part of my, when I put that plan together, there was a plan to make sure that I had the people in place. I had the people that I work with consistently. And we also do internships. So we have interns that we work with, you know, and I teach them personally. And I myself, I like to stay sharp on this business because it is one of those things at the end of the day, it all falls on you. You know, and you have to recognize what level is your company at. You know, I would love to say that we're a Fortune 500 or even close to that, but we're not. So with that being said, even though I am the person running the show, I have to also stay relevant in terms of the knowledge and what's happening with my industry, because if I have to roll up my sleeves and get out and do what I need to do, we have to make it happen for our client.
Absolutely. Now, getting back to how this all kind of ties into the elements of business infrastructure. So you mentioned that you secured virtual or shared office space. Mm-hmm. You started to hire 1099 contractors as opposed to having employees, which, by the way, is almost always the number one most expensive line item for any company are the salaries and expenses for people.
Right.
When it comes to the technologies, Forrest, that you use, so for example, with your preferred contractors list, is there some type of a database tool or is there a certain software that you use to manage all of this information for these different preferred contractors?
No, we just have a list. We actually, there's not a specific software that I use for them. There may be, but I have not. There's a list of people that have completed our training and they're just on that list. And they have, whenever there's a job, it goes out to that list. And so when I say they have first right of refusal, whoever is available for that job. And that's how we've been able to successfully do that now for 10 years and we have not missed a beat. And one of the things I will also say to this is that when going down this path, one of the things that I implemented was customer service, which was going to be our biggest thing, even with contractors. And that's where, you know, we received the Better Business Bureau's Torch Award for customer service. Mm. And that really spoke to the training and the system that I think that we have in place. The people that are working with our company, they believe in what we're doing. They believe in the process and how we go about doing it. And it's reflected in what our customers have had to say about the people that represent One Vision Productions when we're working.
That's amazing. So I'm sure there are several lessons that you've learned as a result of going through this exercise. Can you share what some of those lessons have been?
Yes. Number one, something will go wrong.
Ain't that the truth?
I don't care how much you plan. It's itemized. The 5-year plan is laid out, 2 year, 3 year. Something will go wrong. And so I would share with you as a business owner, be flexible, you know, And actually plan for mistakes. That, you know, a lot of people don't actually tell you to do that, but I believe that planning for something to go wrong, different case scenarios can help you better be prepared. You know, what is your contingency if no one else can come do the job? How will you handle that? And you create these what if moments, which actually it's almost like going into battle knowing, okay, if this goes wrong, I have this opportunity, this alternative method. Now, it doesn't always work, or it may not always happen, but I think being prepared is one of the biggest things I can say for any entrepreneur. You know, don't go in thinking everything is going to just go perfectly and it's just going to be, you know, wonderful. There will be issues. And I would say, secondly, find resources to help you with what you're doing. You know, and I can give you some specific resources that you can use. For instance, the Small Business Administration, they're a great resource for anything. And also an organization called SCORE. SCORE it was designed as an organization of retired executives that wanted to give back to the community, the business community. Now it's grown. There are working professionals, retired professionals, and people from all different professions that can actually help you with your business as it moves and it grows and changes.
Yes. And can you actually take a little bit more time, if you don't mind, to talk about SCORE? Because I know you've been a SCORE mentor, right?
Four years now.
So
4 years now.
To your point, there has been a shift in the more, I guess, traditional old school SCORE model. Can you kind of explain how that model has changed into what it is today?
Yeah. Well, the great thing about SCORE is it was a resource, like you say, to help entrepreneurs or small business owners. The demographic has changed with the landscape. Now you have more minority business owners, you know, more women business owners for that matter, and just a lot more non-traditional ways of starting a business. Well, one of the things that's great, when I came on with SCORE, that was one of the things that I shared with them coming on. I said, you know, I wasn't a CEO executive of a corporation when starting my business. When I started the business, I was the CEO and the janitor. So there are going to be a lot of people that need to understand that process coming in. And that, you know, it's not going to just be, hey, we have a budget to do this, we have a budget to do that. But they have to understand that there's going to be a process and how to get that business plan together. So as SCORE has evolved over the years, I think the organization has been around over 60 years with more than 13,000 mentors nationwide. SCORE has began to embrace the change in the business culture. So now more of the mentors reflect the people that you see every day. You know, we have more women mentors, and I like to say we also have a new mentor in you. Thank you very much. You know, so all this expertise is now available because a lot of times people do want to sit across from someone that looks like them. So SCORE is just making sure that they are trying to bridge that gap between the professional world and those that are looking to start a business.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. And that is actually a great time to take a quick break so that we can hear a message from our sponsor. Behind the Facade, How to Structure Company Operations for Sustainable Success is a book that explains step by step how to create business infrastructure in your company so that you can better manage the chaos associated with fast growth. It's the world's first book ever written about business infrastructure exclusively for small businesses. Visit behindthefacadebook.com to get your copy today. That's behindthefacadebook.com. We are back with Forrest Tough. And before that quick little break from our sponsor, Forrest, you were sharing with us about how you were able to use certain types of people. I shouldn't say types of people, but a certain workforce.
Yes.
Employees versus, independent contractors versus employees. And you were also talking about some of the specific processes and procedures and guidelines that you have in place to make sure that people understand what the One Vision Productions way is, which I really like. And you were also kind of telling us about this preferred contractors list. Mm-hmm. Now, what advice would you give to those listening who may be experiencing something very similar in their business? I know you shared with us about, you know, the fact that something will go wrong, always make sure you have a contingency plan, and the importance of finding resources to help people. But for those who may be saying, you know what, I really I really need to take a look at my overhead as well and figure out how I can start to reduce that. Do you have any specific advice that you can offer?
Yes. Now, I will cite a couple of books that I think have been very helpful, but I will first start with saying go to SCORE, and that's score.org. SCORE is a tremendous resource, because when I tell you this, if you're at any phase of your business, you have hundreds of mentors that have been at that phase. And the great thing about SCORE is it's actually free. So as a business owner, this is a great way to reduce money going out. Mm-hmm. You actually have a service that's a resource partner with the Small Business Administration that will offer you free business advice. They will take a look at what you have, and they can tell you how to best make changes that could be beneficial to the sustainability of your business. So that's the first thing I would say. Get your SCORE mentor today. It's absolutely free. Now, there are two things. Actually, there are three different things I was introduced to as far as my business. One, I think with every business, with most businesses, there is a portion where you have to understand sales. And there's a book that I wrote by Steve Gold that I read by Steve Gold. It was called Sales. Easily sell anything to anyone and achieve sales excellence in 7 simple steps. Now, the reason I think this is important is because no matter what product you have, someone has to buy it.
Yes.
And not everyone buys your product just because it's great or it looks nice. You know, sometimes you have to sell that product. So I think one of the ways to reduce overhead, a way of looking at that is to increase revenue. So with that, find a way to close deals. So I would leave it at that. That book is called Sales by Steve Gold.
Okay.
Secondly, run your business like a Fortune 100 by Rosalie Loeber, PhD. Run your business like a Fortune 100. In this book, it goes over ways to actually assess your business, whether it's a small business or a Fortune 100, to assess different things about your business to find ways to reduce overhead and increase your profitability. And the last book that I'll share with you is called Blue Ocean Strategy.
Yes.
Yes. I was introduced to this by a really great SCORE mentor of mine. He was over my chapter when I first came. And it's by W. Chan Kim and Renee Marborn. And I'll give you the spelling for that. But it's called Blue Ocean Strategy. Now, simplistically, this is, in a nutshell, what Blue Ocean Strategy is. Let's say that in the water, all the sharks are on one side of the water and they're fighting. So there's blood. It's red because they're all fighting over the same thing. But over here is the blue ocean. In that blue ocean, it's territory that's untapped. So this book focuses on looking at your market and finding a way to create your blue ocean or create something that's untapped. And I'll give an example. Do you remember how the circus was perceived, Alicia?
What was your
of the original circus?
Oh, the original circus. Wow, this is going way back in the day. Sitting under a tent, looking at the poor animals, you know, the elephants. I think sometimes, well, I remember seeing the tightrope, lots of acrobats.
Right. And, you know, it was probably $5, $10 a ticket to get in.
Yes, it was really cheap.
And now here comes Cirque du Soleil, an experience.
Yes, yes.
Tickets may be $100.
It is. Yes.
They created something that already existed, but they created a different experience. They found a blue ocean. And
I like that example.
Short number of years, they were able to make the same amount of money in half the time as like a Ringling Brothers or something like that. So that's an example of what a blue ocean is. And so that book can help you unlock that mindset to find out, how do I begin to look for a blue ocean in what I do?
I love that. And as shamefully, as much as I've heard about that book, I have never read it. And you listening to you, I am going to go on Amazon and place my order. That is awesome. And real quick, before we wrap up, Forrest, you mm-hmm. actually touched on something that I intended to ask you about, and that is the difference between increasing your revenue versus increasing your profitability. Did you find that once you started taking proactive measures to reduce overhead, obviously you were able to invest in other things to enhance your customers' overall experience, mm-hmm. but did you also find that you were able to not only increase your revenue, but also increase your profitability overall?
Yes. And how that happened didn't just come from changing locations. It came from us proactively looking for new ways of new markets to penetrate. So one thing that I would say when we first started out, it was just, you know, it was residential. We did a lot of personal parties, and then we got into corporate video. So from there, we expanded into working with the government. So once we got all the paperwork, we learned how to work with the government. We now had three different revenues. Then the film industry came along. So now we got involved in the film industry. So now we have 5-6 revenues from the, including photography and graphic design, different ways to create revenue within our company. And that is what over time helped to increase the profitability, because a lot of times they interchange. And I can give you a small example. A couple of years ago, we won a contract with the U.S. Department of Justice. Well, in working with them, we were able to take that project and it turned into a film. Mm. The film ended up having national distribution to every U.S. attorney's office in the country. Arthur M. Blank Foundation donated thousands of dollars to the project. So we were able to cross-pollinate the different platforms that we were working on and create something. And so that was kind of an example of me creating a blue ocean, in a sense. Mm. I created a platform that didn't exist. The U.S. Department of Justice said, hey, we've never done a film before, but now wow. they have. So that would be a small example of how we've been able to do that in our company.
Well, this has all been excellent food for thought. Thank you so much for sharing all of this.
How can
people get in touch with you?
Well, one, you can call me directly. 678-754-2882. You can speak with Forrest Tough. You can visit our company website, www.onevisprod.com, onevisprod.com. And if all else fails, just Google One Vision Productions.
Awesome. Forrest, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Alicia.
My pleasure. Now I want to talk to you, the person listening to this right now. Can your company also benefit from reducing overhead? I already know what the answer is. Of course it can. Here's a recap of how Forrest did just that. He took a look at the line items, those expense line items on his profit and loss statement. He specifically looked into reducing overhead by means of investing in virtual office space as opposed to actually renting or leasing the facility, the brick and mortar facility that he had. He also shifted from hiring employees to hiring more 1099 contractors, and he built up a very large database of these contractors. Those two things alone did quite a bit to help free up money that allowed for us to invest in other equipment and technologies to not only increase the services that he was offering, but it also enabled them to have a relentless focus on customer service. Also, think about not only just reducing your overhead, but also how to increase your profitability. Proactively look at new markets to penetrate. Put your sales hat on. I'm so glad that Forrest mentioned that. Think Cirque du Soleil and not just the regular traditional circus. If you want to learn more about Forrest and his company, One Vision Productions, then be sure to reach out to him. He did give his phone number. It's 678-754-2882. 2882, and that is with the country code of 1 for the U.S. His website is onevisprod.com. That's 1-O-N-E, V like Victor, I-S, P like Paul, R-O-D like dog.com. We will have links to all of the information that Forrest shared with us in the show notes at businessinfrastructure.tv. Here you'll also be able to subscribe to the show as well as download this episode for your future reference. And while you're there, don't forget to let us know your feedback. Again, you can do this at businessinfrastructure.tv. Thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, stay focused, be encouraged. This entrepreneurial journey is a marathon and not a sprint. Until the next time.
Thank you for listening to Business Infrastructure, the podcast about curing back office blues with Alicia Butler-Pierre. If you like what you've heard, do us a favor and subscribe, leave a rating and review, and more importantly, share with your colleagues and team members who could benefit from the information. Join us next week for another episode of Business Infrastructure with Alicia Butler-Pierre.